your relationship as a mother with your child is the best shot at intimacy that you have in this lifetime. I will die on that hill, right? This is it. And you have 18 precious years with this human in these developmental moments, right? So it's like a blip in your lifescape. And you have arguably the rest of your life to micromanage your space and your household however you see fit. Hi, and welcome back to Reclamation Radio. I am Dr. Kelly Brogan, and I'm here to drop a hot take on parents telling their children to clean their room. I have become obsessed with observing how often, especially mothers, feel entitled to command and micromanage their children's space, their own rooms. And I have been this mother. So in my masterclass called Victimless Mothering, I reveal many, many, many humbling ways in which I was able to see the shadow of my holistic mama, spiritually evolved, cycle breaking, you know, greenwashing of the conditional love, access, and control and fear-based behavior that I and so many of us were marinating in as kids, right? So I smoke out my own tendencies. And one of the ways that I was able to see I was micromanaging my children was in telling them how to eat, how much to eat, and also when to clean their room, and really nagging them around that being necessary. Okay, so this was years ago. I can barely relate to it at this point. I want to tell you about a little social experiment. And none of what I am saying here is to suggest that I'm doing it better than somebody else, or that I'm even a better version of myself as a mom today than I was before. It's just almost delight of the reveal, right? Like, oh, here's another way that we have taken the bait of this reflexive, you know, unconsidered habit, right? This way of being, that's just, it's not as fun. And it doesn't allow us to offer our children or ourselves the ultimate experience that I think we're all longing for, which is to feel like we're on the same damn team. To feel like we're on the same team. So your relationship as a mother with your child is the best shot at intimacy that you have in this lifetime. I will die on that hill, right? This is it. And you have 18 precious years with this human in these developmental moments, right? So it's like a blip in your lifescape. And you have arguably the rest of your life to micromanage your space and your household however you see fit. But what an amazing opportunity, while you have them in your space, to look at the covert intentions behind the ways in which you are seemingly helping your children to become better citizens, right? The ways in which you are training them to be respectful and orderly, the ways in which you are expecting compliance and obedience under the guise of, you know, pitching into the family and supporting you, right? So I have learned, thank goodness, through my experience with Family Constellation, that the energy and the giving is meant to flow from parent to child. The only thing that a child owes their parent, and I'm going to just speak about mothers, you know, the only thing that a child owes their mother is gratitude for life. The end. All of the giving otherwise goes from mother to child, from parent to child. And that child pays it forward in the world and through their own children. So we have this quite inverted, and it is the source of a lot of parentified childhoods, right? Where the child then takes on the role of the counselor, the therapist, the spouse, right? We have things called emotional incest, where the child feels that they are responsible for the mother's unmet intimacy, sometimes erotic and sensual needs, and that the child is fundamentally the regulator of this mother, who herself was likely an unmothered daughter, right? So it gets handed down in this way. But the truth is that order comes when parents give to children. I had a very humbling reminder of this at a recent birthday, like one of my recent birthdays, where, you know, my daughters know that I have a words of affirmation love language. And actually, I feel like I am expanding beyond that at this point, because I've really experienced some of the hollowness of words of affirmation, and I'm really getting way more into acts of service and gestures. However, my daughters typically write me extraordinary love notes. And in fact, I included one of them, literally printed it with her permission in my book, The Reclaimed Woman. And on this particular birthday, one of my daughters did not write me a card. Like, she said she would at some point, but it didn't happen. Or, like, you know, get me a gift or whatever. That's usually not something I'm expecting or consciously wanting anyway. And for days after my birthday, there was a part of me that felt preoccupied by the fact that I had not received this card or any equivalent, you know, gesture or gift. And this little part of me, this sweet little part of me that has learned ledger-based love, that has learned that everything needs to be transactional and that keeps account, right? That is like this inner broker who is always monitoring, you know, how many times I've done this and how many times somebody else has done that. This part of me even thought, and this is like, would be humiliating to admit if I didn't value and honor all of my parts, even thought, well, I'm not going to get her something for her birthday. Okay. I am a grown-ass woman and a mother. Okay. And this little girl part of me is in like playground mentality still, arrested in development. And I am in a family constellation training with Amrali Centeno. And we happened to have a session where we were talking about this kind of hierarchy, right? Like the directionality of this flow of giving. And I snapped out of it immediately. Okay, so this only went on for like maybe 72 hours. Okay. And I snapped out of it because I remembered, oh, right. If my daughters never give me a thing, never acknowledge any aspect, right? Like they never read my books. They never, you know, do the thing. Like one of my requests of my daughters for years has been that I want to learn like a three-part harmony and like sing a song together. Okay, they don't want to do that with me. So excited when one of them wants to learn like a TikTok dance with me that I'll take the crumbs. No, I'm kidding. But I was able to remember that if they never give me a thing again, if they never acknowledge anything, if they never thank me for the extravagant trips that I take them on or whatever, that is 1000% in order. That is 1000% fine. And then my role and even my money has been infused now with this greater purpose is to spoil them, is to bring them happiness and pleasure and to support their own free will and choice and, moreover, their alignment with their own yes and their own no, which I have really prioritized as my, you know, primary ethos as a mother is, you know, how to recognize when you're doing something for a covert exchange. So I'll suggest to one of my daughters, like, you know, don't do that for your sister unless you would do it if she didn't say thank you, if she didn't appreciate it at all, right? Which means that you're doing it for yourself, for the satisfaction and fulfillment. So this intrinsic motivation is something that I, like so many of the kids in my generation was systematically divorced from through schooling and, you know, family culture. And the reclamation of that intrinsic motivation, that creative spark, that inspiration, that divine impulse isn't necessary when you're not fundamentally disconnected from it. So when we source our regulation as mothers through control of our environment, so we're not even talking about control of our man, okay, it's not the subject of this hot take, but when we source that sense of inner okayness through the neurotic management of our environment in the home, we are unlikely to be experiencing cleanliness in the home and order from the Marie Kondo spaces of joy, right? And the pleasure that cleaning a home, right? The pleasure that devoting yourself to the beautification of a space that you live in and that you share with your loved ones can offer. We are exercising an externalization of old habits of validation, right? So I wonder how many of you listening grew up with moms who got very anxious whenever company would come over, right? And needed you to keep the house clean, and parents who would punish you if you didn't clean your room or nag you and push you and push you and push you. I believe the recording I recommend more than any other is my Victimless Mothering Workshop, which is the product of 14 years of motherhood, where I help smoke out the reflexive, control-based habits of unconscious parenting, and specifically the way that conditional love hides in the well-meaning, holistic mama vibes of a woman like me who is so convinced that she's ending all the abuse of her mother line by imposing rules meant to protect her kids against toxic food, tech, and pharma. I have been humbled, and I've seen some darkness in my own righteousness and in the holistic health mothering world. So I want to open the conversation, and I think it went really well. So I'd love to share these recordings with you. An attendee said, "I was pretty emotional during the call. I journaled like 10 pages afterwards. My husband told me I looked happier already and I feel lighter. That call with Kelly felt like 10 years of therapy in 1 hour. It cut through to the core." So I hope you'll check it out and commit with me to truly ending victim consciousness and fear-based parenting in all of the places that it hides. The link is in show notes. Several years ago, I actually, at the beginning of the pandemic, when I did this deep shadow dive and looked at how I was embodying and expressing totalitarian and tyrannical energy that I was judging on the outside, I, on a dime, stopped telling my children to ever clean their room. I stopped telling them how or what to eat. Okay. And they were, I guess, like tweens at this point. And their dad's household is different, where there is an expectation around cleanliness and order and pitching in and that kind of thing. What we've observed, right, across households is that my daughter's rooms in my house are clean, right? That they, like, each of them has their own schedule of when they clean, and I literally never say a word, and they do it. Why? Because they want to experience the delight of going from, you know, socks and underwear on the floor to an ordered space. That intrinsic motivation is something that they will take forward, you know, into their lives. And so we can see that when we are commanding children to manage their own space, assuming they have their own room, so that we feel okay, we are entraining their systems into not only a kind of appeasement and a disconnection from their own intrinsic motivation. So we are enculturing extrinsic motivation, but we are also entraining in them a kind of entitlement, right? Like, when I need this to be done so that I feel okay, it should be done, right? And those kids can become entitled adults who imagine that somebody else owes them something, right? So this is ultimately all victim threads, right, that we are weaving in these simple and culturally normalized expectations of our children. And we might say, well, I want to teach them discipline. I want to teach them, you know, the power of an orderly room. The thing is, it's for you, You want it because you want it, right? It's like, if there's a sock on the floor and it bothers you that there's a sock on the floor, how about pick up the sock? Like, if it bothers you that much that their room is unkempt, how about you ask them if you can go clean it? Which I actually, in my transition, did. Like, can I help you? Can I help you? Right. And that's leads me to another point, which is that often we will set forth these top-down demands and expectations, and we won't ever actually take the time to, like, teach a man to fish kind of a thing, right? We won't ever take the time to teach them how to do what it is that we're barking at them to do, right? So that would be a step in the right direction, is like, here's a lesson in how one cleans a room, right? What does that even mean, right? Here is how you might order, right? Like, Marie Kondo's entire enterprise is founded on the instruction to adults who have never learned how to do these things, right? So here's how you do it. Maybe you could impart inspiration that way. And maybe, you know, your child could experience the delight of an ordered space. But the most you can do is show them how it looks, how to do it, and then leave it up to them to see if that's something that they want to do. If it's bothering you otherwise, you can do it. You can take care of it. So the martyrdom that we love to cloak ourselves in as mothers is something that I feel stems from a fundamental confusion about our priorities. So I recorded a solo called Choosing Motherhood, where I talk about this cataclysmic moment in my experience where I recognize that I have not prioritized my role as mother for any of the 15 years since I became one, and have been prioritizing chiefly my career and then also a man who was not their father when I entered into, you know, my second marriage relationship. And what it is to finally align with this choice that I made so many years ago, instead of gaslighting myself into imagining that I would ever feel fulfilled in the fundamental misalignment with my essence as a woman, right? So I remember the lengths that I went to. This was even in somewhat recent years, but I remember the lengths that I went to avoid, like, driving my children to school. Like, I decided that, and, you know, they were going to a school after I had my year and a half of unschooling experience. So lovely and amazing. I enjoyed it so much. And they decided that they would rather be in school. So they went back to school, and they were at a school that was, like, a good hour or so away. And so I decided that that was so loathsome a commitment to sit in the car. My body does not love the car, but regardless, to sit in the car for what, you know, totaled like 3 hours a day, that I, you know, spent all of this time and energy and money, like, vetting drivers and sourcing carpools and all this stuff. And I remember that I would pay my girls like $5 here and there to, like, help me take out the, and this is as a single mom, take out the garbage or do the dishes, because I already was at the point where I knew that it wouldn't make sense for me to tell them to do those things. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll pay them to do those things. But I still had this sense of martyrdom, right? This self-pity that said, I have to do all of this myself. No fair. And the truth is that I have made choices that have consequences, and there is not a victim in sight, right? And that if I orient, as I had, you know, a reconnection to in this epiphanal moment in my life, if I orient towards my role as mother as a devotional practice and the opportunity of my life, literal lifetime, to experience true intimacy, because never are two people more invested in the health of a relationship, and never will you be more vulnerably asked to remain open and on the same team as this little person in front of you who might present as your op, okay, than in this relationship. So when I reoriented devotionally towards my children, I stopped seeing my experience of driving them, of doing the dishes, of taking out the garbage. I stopped seeing all of that as units of productivity that I was wasting, right? So I stopped feeling burdened by these mundane tasks. I stopped feeling like too good for them. I stopped ultimately prioritizing my work, right, over my role as mother and reoriented my role as mother first. And it shocks me actually that I now take out the garbage, I do the dishes, and I drive them. They laugh about it now. Like that I just turned on a dime as I want to do, that I drive them from a place of, I get to do this for you. I get to do this for you. And it's a pleasure, actually. It's a pleasure actually to do this for you. Now, my daughters are teenagers. They are beyond epic and amazing. And so it's easy. And I understand that, you know, in a more challenging dynamic, this is harder to access. And what an extraordinary charnel ground for your development as an alchemical vessel, right? As a woman, than if you do have a challenging dynamic and you can still access that devotional comportment. You can still be in true service, not martyrdom, not that covert exchange that ultimately then, you know, decades later says, after all I've done for you. So when we orient in this way, we can also see that there are a lot of edicts and rules and things that we imagine are for our children's benefit, that it's like our job to teach them, whether it's, you know, in my case, around, you know, tech or food, whether it's around sex and sexuality, whether it's around sleepovers and whatever it is, you'll be better able to feel in your body when you're just bullshitting, right? Like when you're literally just making up risks and making up things so that you can have it your way, right? Instead of adopting the tell me more, you know, comportment towards this child in front of you so that you can actually enter into their experience and give a shit about their experience and not default to the ways that we have kept ourselves safe as women, which is, I'm going to get you to see. Yeah, I'm going to get you to see, and I'm going to manipulate and strategize so that you ultimately do what it is that I want you to do so that I feel okay. So here's to children owing us nothing but gratitude for life. And here is to picking up the damn sock if you want it picked up. Until next time.